So here we are. It's Monday, December 16th, and we're on session 53 of our study of the Kingdom of God. And what a great time this has been so far. So much to learn. So tonight we're going to look at what Jesus Christ said about false prophets who are like wolves disguised as sheep. And we're going to start in Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 15. He just finished talking about the straight gate and the narrow way, as opposed to the wide gate and the broad way that leads to destruction. So following that, he's now going to warn his disciples about false prophets, which would be the ones that would be guiding people towards that wide gate that leads to destruction, you know, when you keep it in the context. But let's see what he says here. Verse 15 said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." So ravening would be they're predatory. They're on the hunt, looking to snatch some prey. And in verse 16, he said, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or do they gather figs of thistles?" Of course not. "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, it's chopped down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." So again, he's talking about false prophets. He's not talking about the believers that have entered into the kingdom of God. He's talking about the false prophets. They're identified as false prophets. They're chopped down, cast into the fire. So he said, you'll know them by their fruits. Now, I want to look at prophets, false, and also the genuine. You can tell the difference between the genuine and the counterfeit when you know the genuine very well. And the first place in the Bible that it uses the word prophet is in Genesis chapter 20, and it's regarding Abraham, chapter 20, verse 7. Okay, this is regarding when Abraham and Sarah stayed in the kingdom of Abimelech for a short time. And Abimelech thought Sarah was pretty good looking, even though she was like close to 90 years old at the time, and wanted her to be his wife, and God intervened. And he told Abimelech, starting in verse 6, that God said unto him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. I did not allow you to touch Sarah. Now therefore restore the man his wife. Take Sarah and give her back to Abraham, for he is a prophet." First time in the Bible that uses the word prophet. And it identifies Abraham as a prophet. He is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. So we can look at Abraham's life because there's a whole lot written about Abraham. His thoughts, his relationship with God, his manner of life, the way he conducted himself. So we can read all about Abraham and get very familiar with a genuine prophet and what a genuine prophet is like. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 13, it talks about the other side of the coin. By the way, I wanted to mention that even though the first use of the word prophet is regarding Abraham, the first prophet that there ever was Abel, because Jesus Christ identified Abel as a prophet. I don't remember the verse, but it would be easy to look up. But he talked about the blood of the prophets that was shed upon the earth from Abel to Zechariah, you know. So Abel was a prophet. But in Deuteronomy 13, starting in verse 1, this is something God told Moses to write down, said, "If there arise among you, the people of Israel, a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So this would be a prophet that tells the people of Israel to go and worship other gods. And along with telling them, he produces a sign or a wonder, some miracle. He said, don't listen to him. You should know by the words that he speaks, if he's telling you to worship other gods, that he's a phony. Verse 4 said, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in, so shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. So he said, don't believe him just because he produced a miracle. The miracle's one thing, but the words that he speaks, if they're so contrary to the word of God, saying, let's go worship other gods, then you should know by the words that he's not right. Jesus Christ said, look at their fruits. If the fruit of what obeying him would do would be to worship other gods, then you know that's corrupt, you see? If that man is worshiping other gods himself, or if he's telling other people to, then that's corrupt. That's a corrupt tree. So let's go to chapter 18 of Deuteronomy now. Chapter 18, starting in verse 18. So Deuteronomy 18:18. We're familiar with this. This is where God told Moses about the prophet that would be like him. So he said, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, Moses, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. That's exactly what a true prophet will do. God will put his words in the prophet's mouth. That prophet will speak the words that God commanded him to speak. He shouldn't be telling people stuff that he makes up out of his own head, you know? Verse 19, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So if it is a true prophet, and he's specifically speaking of the Messiah here, Jesus Christ was very positively identified as the prophet like unto Moses, but he wasn't identified by name at this point. Now in verse 20, he said, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou shalt say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, you know, not just giving his opinion about things, but saying, thus saith the Lord, and then making a statement, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him, or thou shalt not revere or stand in awe of him. So if it's a true prophet, yeah, the people should have great respect for that prophet who is actually speaking for God. But if it's someone who's saying, thus saith the Lord, this is going to happen, and then the thing that he said doesn't happen, then they know that this was not a true prophet. Should not get the respect of the people. Shouldn't be listening to him. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 3 gives an example of someone who was a real prophet who did speak for God. And there are many. There's, you know, Moses, obviously. We spent a lot of time looking at him early on. And the other prophets, especially, you know, the ones that wrote the books of the Bible, they were all true prophets. And there are others mentioned in the scriptures that didn't write books of the Bible that were also true prophets. But Samuel was one of them. And in chapter 3, verse 19, this is talking about Samuel as just a boy. And that time that God called him by name in the middle of the night, and he thought it was Eli the high priest, and Eli had to keep telling him to go back to bed till Eli finally figured out that God was talking to him. And then he had Samuel tell him everything that God told him, which he did. And then in verse 19, it says, and Samuel grew, became a young man, an adult, and the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground. So everything that Samuel spoke when he said, thus saith the Lord, and he spoke it, God made sure that every word came to pass because they were God's words that Samuel was speaking. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. So it was the Lord that established him. Okay? He gave Samuel words to speak. Samuel spoke the words that God gave him to speak. They came to pass. Everybody knew it. It was God that established Samuel to be a prophet. Now let's go to chapter 7 of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 7. There's another prophet named Nathan. Good old reliable Nathan. And he was the prophet while David was king. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass when the king sat in the house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in an house of cedar," and this is David talking to Nathan, "but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." Now, did he speak that by revelation, or did he just say that out of his own mind? Verse 4 says, "And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Ask him this question, Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle, in all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." So Nathan, when David told Nathan, "I'd like to build a house for God," Nathan just said, "Do all that's in thine heart, because God is with thee." He didn't say, "Thus saith the Lord," did he? He just said, "Go ahead. No, sounds like a good idea." And then God corrected Nathan that night. Nathan didn't say that because he was trying to do some kind of evil. He didn't have any ulterior motive. He was just speaking his mind. But God talked to Nathan that very night and said, "Look, I heard the conversation, and this is what you need to tell David. I'm commanding you at this time to tell David these words. And when you do, make sure you say, Thus saith the Lord, so he knows that it's from me and not from you." Okay, so God worked with Nathan, and he corrected him on that. And then Nathan, he always did a fine job for God since that point. Now, 1 Kings chapter 18. This is a record that we've read a number of times already, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just to review with you what happened here. This is when Ahab and Jezebel were king and queen over Israel, the northern kingdom. And Jezebel was a Baal worshiper. She was the daughter of a king, a little north of Israel, and Zidon, I believe, was the name of the city, and she worshipped Baal. So when she became queen, she had all the prophets of the true God put to death. She had them executed, except there was a man named Obadiah, who was Ahab's right-hand man, his personal assistant, who hid 100 of the prophets in a cave, and he fed them every day without Ahab and Jezebel knowing about it. But Jezebel had 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the groves, and they ate at her table every day. So she supported them, and naturally they would prophesy in the name of Baal and say whatever the queen wanted to hear. Now, God sent Elijah the prophet to Ahab, and he said, I want you to bring all the people of Israel to meet me, and make sure you bring the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves, and I'm going to speak with all the people. So Ahab did what Elijah told him, and we're going to pick up the record in verse 36. Now, in the meantime, Elijah addressed all the people of Israel and say, why do you halt between two opinions? You're worshiping Baal, and some of you are worshiping Jehovah, the true God, but you need to make up your mind, one or the other, but not both. And he instructed the prophets of Baal, said, choose you a bullock. There's two bullocks, like oxen, you know. Said, you choose one and cut it in pieces, put it on your altar, and you call to your god, Baal, for him to send fire down from heaven and burn up the sacrifice. And they did. They yelled to Baal, you know, from morning till afternoon, and they jumped up and down, and they cut themselves so blood was squirting everywhere, but there was no response. And then Elijah said, well, I'll take my bullock, and he cut it into pieces, put it on the altar, and he dug a trench around it, and he said, pour water over it, do it a second time, do it a third time, and then he prays to God in their presence. Verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, that's Jehovah, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Meaning he was being a true prophet, he was obeying God in what he did, and he was speaking for God. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that you're Jehovah God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, Jehovah, he is God. Jehovah, he is the God. Okay? He is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. So all the prophets of Baal are now eliminated. They've been executed. Let's go to chapter 22, and we're going to read this chapter, starting in verse 1. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. Ahab is still the king of Israel at this time. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. You know, Jehoshaphat, he loved God, but he was trying to unify the two kingdoms here, which he thought was a good idea, but it wasn't necessarily God's idea. But anyway, verse 5 says, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord Jehovah today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. So now Ahab has 400 prophets of Jehovah. Okay? Remember, all the prophets of Jehovah had been executed except the 100 that Obadiah had hid in the cave. All the prophets of Baal had been executed, but now there's 400 prophets of Jehovah, and they're all saying, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? Apparently, Jehoshaphat recognized that these 400 men that claimed to be speaking for Jehovah were saying exactly what the king wanted to hear. And it seemed like he had some doubts that they were actually speaking for God. So he asked, do you have any other prophets of Jehovah besides these 400 that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Every time he prophesies, he has something bad to say about me. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Kenana, made him horns of iron. And he said, thus saith the Lord, and that's Jehovah, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. So he had props with him, horns made out of iron, and said, with these horns, you're going to push the Syrians until thou hast consumed them. And he said, thus saith the Lord, thus saith Jehovah. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord, Jehovah, shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, say, look, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good for once in your life, you know? And Micaiah said, as the Lord, that's Jehovah, as Jehovah liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. This guy was a genuine prophet. He would only speak what God would tell him to speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? So apparently Ahab could tell that Micaiah was just saying this, but it wasn't really so. Verse 17, and he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. Who would be missing? Ahab. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? Told you. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? How are you going to do it? He said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. This would be one of the cases where God allowed this to happen. The spirit volunteered, and God said, okay, go ahead. So he allowed it to happen. But Zedekiah, the son of Kenaah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison, and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. said, "You mark my words. Remember what I said, because you'll see who is speaking for God and who is not." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And if you read the rest of the story, you'll find out that King Ahab was killed and he died. So all those 400 prophets who claimed to be speaking for Jehovah, the true God, they were speaking what this lying spirit gave them to speak. The only one that spoke the truth was Micaiah. And he told them exactly what was going on, okay? He told them what was going on behind the scenes. They didn't believe him, but maybe after they got back from the battle when Ahab was dead, maybe at that time they did. But these 400 guys, they were just as valuable as the prophets of Baal had been. They're false prophets. They were saying what the king wanted to hear. And God is not happy when that happens. Let's look at Jeremiah. We're going to spend a little bit of time in Jeremiah here, starting in chapter 5, because there were a whole bunch of false prophets in the days of Jeremiah, and the things that God commanded Jeremiah to speak, these other guys were always contradicting. Look at the last verse of chapter 5, verse 31. It says, "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means." The word means is by their hands. "And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof?" So here's what's going on in the kingdom of Judah at the time. The northern kingdom of Israel at the time of Jeremiah had already been taken captive by the Assyrians, like maybe 100 years ago. And now the kingdom of Judah is going to be taken captive by the Babylonians. There were prophets that would prophesy and say, "Everything's going to be fine. God's going to take care of you." But God didn't tell him to say that. God told Jeremiah to tell the people, "Look, you've been worshiping other gods. You should be worshiping me. I'm the one that can help you. If you worship the other gods, they will not be able to help you. And if you refuse to come back and worship me, I will make sure that the kingdom is taken over by the Babylonians and the city of Jerusalem is destroyed and most of you are going to die." Okay? But the prophets, when they heard Jeremiah say these things, they'd say, "Oh, no, no, no. Peace, peace. God will protect us. Everything's fine." Now, what's the problem with that? What they said sounded good, right? It sounded encouraging. It gave the people a sense of peace. However, the people were worshiping other gods in addition to worshiping the true God. They would bring their sacrifices to the temple. They would ask God to do things for them, but they're worshiping the Queen of Heaven and these other Baal gods along the way. And God had told them, "I'm your only God. You shall have no other gods before me." Now, chapter 7 of Jeremiah, look at verse 25. And this is God speaking by Jeremiah. He said, "Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them." Now, this is God telling Jeremiah, "Jeremiah, you shall speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. They won't listen to you. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee." Verse 28, "But thou shalt say unto them, This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth." It just makes me so sad to read that, that here's God who loved his people and he fought for them and he chose faithful men that will say exactly what he told them to say. But he said the people wouldn't listen. They hardened their necks. They didn't want to do the will of God. That wasn't part of their agenda. They had their own things that they wanted to do that was contrary to the will of God. But that led to their own destruction. And God said, "Look, ever since they came out of Egypt, I've sent my prophets, my chosen men that would speak my word, but they wouldn't listen. And I'm sending you to them, Jeremiah, and they're not going to listen to you. You speak to them anyway, because you have to give them that opportunity to come back to me. But I'm telling you, they're not going to, because truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. What a sad state of affairs. Look at 23. In almost every chapter, you have something about the people disobeying God and wanting to disobey God, and the false prophets that would encourage them to keep on doing what they were doing. Verse 13, 23:13 says, I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. And we've read about those men of Sodom and Gomorrah, how evil they were. But he said, the prophets that prophesy, you know, everything's going to be okay, just keep doing what you're doing. You know, God's happy if you worship him at all, along with these other gods. You know, God says, these prophets, they're speaking in my name, but they're not calling the people back. They're not correcting them as they need the correction. They're strengthening the hands of the evildoers. Therefore, verse 15, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Okay? So those that despise God, they're telling him, oh, you're going to be fine. Those that disobey God, do whatever they want, oh, no evil is going to come to you. It sounds real good, but it wasn't the truth, because destruction was coming to him. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly, in hindsight. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Meaning, if there is a true prophet, like you are, Jeremiah, I give you a vision or give you words, you speak it to the people. Don't worry about what the other ones are doing. What is the chaff to the wheat? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. How are they doing that? Well, they're speaking words that sound better, that the people want to believe, but then they don't believe what the real words of God are that's being spoken by the real prophets. Verse 31, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Okay? They're making it up and they're attributing it to God. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest, shall ask thee, saying, What is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt say unto them, What burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, The burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Now, what's this talking about? Well, in some of the earlier prophets, they would sometimes say, This is the burden of the Lord, meaning God gave me this burden to carry to speak these words. These false prophets were using that phrase, apparently. They were saying, This is the burden of the Lord, what God gave me to tell you, but they're making stuff up. And God's telling Jeremiah, when you hear that phrase, the burden of the Lord, going forward, you will know it's not for me. Okay? That's a buzzword that they're using to make it sound legitimate. But I'm telling you, if anyone says the burden of the Lord, they're making it up. I didn't talk to him. Verse 35, Thus shall ye say, everyone to his neighbor and everyone to his brother, What hath the Lord answered, or what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more. For every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts our God. Thus shalt thou say to a prophet, What hath the Lord answered thee, and what hath the Lord spoken? So don't ask a prophet what's the burden of the Lord anymore going forward. But since ye say the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, Ye shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, and will forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence, and will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten. Now, you know, God isn't saying this just to innocent people who are making mistakes. He's saying this to people who had been reproved and corrected, or he tried to correct them, but they refused. They refused to come back. But they loved to hear what these false prophets had to say. Look at Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 4. Now, the Babylonians did come, and they took a lot of the people captive. The people that had skills, the people that were of value to the Babylonian Empire, they were taken away live as captives and put to work and put in various places throughout the Empire of Babylon. And God had Jeremiah write a letter, like an epistle, to these people that had been taken captive. And here's what he said, starting in verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there, and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord, unto Jehovah, for it, for that city. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place, back to Jerusalem. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. So you that have gone into captivity, settle down, raise families, 70 years will go by, and then I will bring you back. Don't listen to these other prophets that are saying, God has broken the bondage of Babylon and will have you return within 2 years. There were prophets at that time that were saying that. God's saying, that's not going to happen. Don't listen to them. 70 years is the time that I'm going to bring you back again. And he put it in writing, and he warned them not to listen to the false prophets that spoke in his name, but he didn't send them. Now, Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel was among those that went into the captivity in Babylon, and he would have read Jeremiah's letter. Plus, God gave him revelation, some for his own benefit, some to write down, some to speak to the people. So in Ezekiel 13, verse 1 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing." And it goes on to address those false prophets. So there were many false prophets. There were a handful of prophets of the true God, and God had a lot to say concerning those false prophets, just like Jesus Christ warned his own disciples about those that would be false prophets, and that they would be men that would be masquerading as the true prophets of God, pretending to be believers, but inside, you know, under the sheep's clothing, they were like ravening wolves. They were predatory. And look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, go to verse 22. And he said in verse 22, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." You know, Jeremiah was put in prison. Micaiah, the one out of the 401 that spoke for the true God, he was put in prison for speaking for the true God. Jesus Christ said, if people hate you and they ostracize you for my sake, rejoice. If they hate you for any other reason, it's not going to be as great. But if they hate you for my sake, for the Son of Man's sake, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Because your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets, referring to the true prophets that actually did speak for God. But then look at verse 26. He said, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." So if you're just telling everybody what they want to hear, and they're all speaking well of you, they all spoke well of the false prophets. And this is especially concerning the people of Israel, because his disciples were men of Israel. And we've all read the book of Acts, and you can see the trouble that the apostles got in with the elders of Israel because they were speaking for Jesus Christ, right? They didn't get into trouble for any other reason, but they got into trouble for speaking up for Jesus Christ. And it says they rejoiced that they were able to suffer shame for his sake. Now, it's time to stop. I have more to share about false prophets, but we can continue this next time. Next week, we will not have a study night. I'm going to cancel it next week. It's just a couple of days before Christmas, and we'll be real busy, and so probably will a lot of you. So we will pick this up again the week after that, which will be the 30th. We will have study night on December 30th. Okay, so when we meet again on December 30th, we'll pick up where we left off here, and we'll look at more about the false prophets, things that Jesus Christ said in the Gospels about them, some things that we'll see in the book of Acts, and in some of the epistles, and in the book of Revelation about false prophets. Very interesting stuff. But until then, God bless you. Have a great Christmas with your family, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.